that we'd be blessed with His Spirit to bring these things forward. I'd like to turn your attention as a way of starting this morning over to the book of Zechariah in the 14th chapter of Zechariah. Zechariah was at a time, along with Haggai, the prophets there, was at a time after God's people came out of Babylonian captivity for some 70 years. You remember they were in captivity twice in the Old Testament. They were in captivity in the land of Egypt for, the Bible says, 430 years. And then later on, they went back into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And of course, when you read the book of Daniel, and you read about the three Hebrew children and Daniel being thrown in the lion's den and all that, of course, that's during the time that they were in Babylonian captivity. So after that, we see that there's the building of the temple, the walls and the building of the temple. The Lord has blessed them through Cyrus, has given them the decree to go back and to once again rebuild that place of worship that they had at one time taken for granted. And you know, it's easy to do that, isn't it? It's easy to take what the Lord has given us and not appreciate it like we should. And so certainly they grew in a greater appreciation of that place of worship and went back there. So Haggai and Zechariah, that's the prophets there speaking at that time during the rebuilding of the wall, during the rebuilding of the temple and things like that. And if you look at it, Haggai is much more, if you will, a kind of a practical type preacher, if you want to look at it that way. Haggai is much more firm with them in the book of Haggai. Again, both of these were written at the same time. You remember Haggai said in that first chapter, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So we see Haggai was much more firm towards the children of Israel as they were coming back. Not so with Zechariah. Zechariah was the, if you will, the doctrinal preacher, if you want to look at it that way, the practical and the doctrinal. And Zechariah's message was a message of hope and consolation. All the way through the book of Zechariah, Zechariah was giving them hope, was strengthening them in the message to go back. And while they were rebuilding the walls, and many of the things that Zechariah says is prophetic. He said in that 13th chapter of Zechariah, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness." This is prophetic of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who would die for His people on the cross at Calvary. So it's with these things that we want to try to delve into Zechariah. And we want to look at the 7th verse of the 14th chapter of Zechariah. He says, "But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go forth, shall go out of, from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, and summer and winter it shall be." Now, our thoughts this morning are in the 7th verse, but in the 8th verse, to clear that up, when he says half of them toward the former sea, that these living waters and half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, we're just simply talking about the work of Jesus Christ pre and post Calvary, that living water was given to all back before the death of Christ, and the same as it's going to be given to all them, His grace, to those after His death there on the cross at Calvary. Everyone is dependent, every child of God, from Adam to the very last one. And you know, there were perhaps hundreds of millions if not more, billions of children of God before Calvary, before Jesus Christ came onto the scene and was nailed and crucified to a cross and then took the merits of his blood into heaven, there had already been a lot of God's children that had died from all ages past. And, you know, they all, and while some of them had that hope, we can read about that in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that they looked for that city which is to come, Abraham said. He had that hope, but I want to tell you what, in that day, there was not a whole lot of light. They didn't have a whole lot of light on the gospel. They didn't have a whole lot of light on the good news of Jesus Christ. It was in there, but I tell you what, until you shine the light of the gospel upon it, it's hard to determine what it is. You remember when that Ethiopian eunuch began to read over there in Isaiah 53 that says he is brought as a lamb before the slaughter, and as a shear before a sheep is, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And you remember he asked Philip, of whom does this prophet speak of? Of himself or of somebody else? Now, that would seem to me and you like an easy question to answer, but the only reason that is an easy question to answer is because we have the light of the New Testament. Because we're able to see those things under the gospel dispensation. I'm already getting way ahead of myself, but I wasn't meaning to get to this until later on. But anyhow, and we will come back to it. But we see that there is that he, and you remember what Philip said? Philip began at the same place and began to preach Jesus. Began to preach Jesus. That scripture there that Isaiah penned down was not talking about Isaiah or any other prophet of the Old Testament. That's talking about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came obedient and died there on the cross at Calvary, because he came for that purpose, and that purpose was to lay his life down on the cross at Calvary. Let me get back where I was going before then, and we'll get back to that, good Lord willing. He says in that seventh verse, but it shall be one day which shall not be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. At evening time it shall be light. Now, at evening time, we understand that at evening time is when darkness begins to fall, doesn't it? But he says here, at evening time, at a time when there's to be darkness, he says, it shall be light. I want to consider that thought as we go through God's word. At evening time, it shall be light. We can look at that in a very literal sense, can't we? When we consider that in a literal sense, we go over there to the book of Exodus in the in the 10th chapter of Exodus. You remember the 10 plagues that came upon the Egyptians while Israel was among the Egyptians. The first one was the blood turning to water into blood, and then there were all these other things that happened. I want to look at the ninth plague. The ninth plague we find in the 10th chapter of Exodus. In the 21st verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness in the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. For 3 days, and they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. There, while they were in the land of Goshen, they had light in their dwelling. But here we see in a natural sense that there was a great darkness upon the land. But yet, even in that darkness, there was light. There was light in the land of Goshen. The children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Can you imagine a darkness that is so dark you could feel it? The Bible says it's a darkness so dark for 3 days. A total darkness, no light whatsoever. And it was so dark that they could not even, they didn't even get up from their place. They just stayed where they were at for 3 days in this trial that they were, in this plague of darkness that they were going through. But in the land of Goshen, the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. I want to tell you, that's a whole lot like this world, isn't it? I want to tell you, in this world, there is darkness out in this world. I'm not talking about a natural darkness. I'm talking about a spiritual darkness. I'm talking about that there's an apostasy from the truth. There's a falling away from the truth. There is immorality in this world. But I'm thankful, dear child of God, that in the middle of all this darkness, that God has a place of light. And I believe that place of light that He has is in His church. I believe it's in His house that we can come together and we have the light of the gospel, that we have the light of truth, because He is the light of life and we can rejoice in Him even when there is darkness all around us. But here we see that this is a literal or a natural darkness. Now in the 14th chapter of Exodus, and in the 19th verse, we see again here that at evening there shall be light. At evening time there shall be light. At a time of darkness there shall be light. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind him, and the pillar of cloud. You remember this is the camp of Israel now when they have left Egypt and they're down here before the great sea. And nowhere to go, and mountains in front of, or mountains on both sides of them, the sea in front of them, and the army, the Egyptian army coming behind them. And it says, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, that is the Egyptians. It was a cloud of darkness, but I want to tell you, in darkness there was light, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. You see, here we see the providential hand of God, His protection for His people against the enemies that would seek to destroy them. And we see that this is a literal thing that happened. This actually took place. You know, it's easy for me and it's easy for all of us as we're reading these accounts in the Bible is to really just look at it as some kind of fairy tale and really not meditate upon the fact that it actually happened. This actually happened. There was a cloud that the Lord and there's the Spirit of God that came between them all the night, and it was darkness unto the Egyptians. But I want to tell you, at evening time they had light. While it was darkness to the Egyptians, it gave light to the Israelites. And they were protected by God. So there we can see, and perhaps some other places that we won't go to this morning, we can see where that literally speaking, at times of evening or at times of darkness, that there was light that was sprung up. That's in a literal sense. I want to look at that at an evening time, that it shall be light in a gospel dispensational sense. And that's what we've already been talking about some this morning. In a gospel sense, and at evening time, it shall be light. Thanks be to God for that. You know, in Malachi, when the Lord closed up there at the book of Malachi, listen to the last thing He says. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now we understand that Elijah, He's talking about John the Baptist here. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And then there was 400 years of silence before the spirit of Elisha, that is John the Baptist, came on scene, came out of the wilderness, preaching to God's people. 400 years of silence. And the last thing that they have, the last thing is a warning of a curse that God would bring upon them. Now they had that for 400 years. 400 years. And the Lord was silent after he said that. Talk about impending judgment that would come upon them, and having to realize that he would curse that nation if they would not continue to seek after him. But even in all of that, God was still merciful, and God was still gracious to those that feared his name. To those that feared his name. You remember he said in that 16th, the third chapter of Malachi, in the 16th verse, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." See, even in that impending judgment, God was still merciful to those that fear his name. And that's always been the mercy of God, hasn't it? Regardless of where Israel's been, regardless of their disobedience, God's always... Israel as a whole, as soon as they would just turn their prayers back to the Lord, what would happen? The Lord would bless them. The Lord would be with them. The Lord was with them so long as they feared the Lord. And I want to tell you this morning, the Lord is with us. The Lord is there to protect us so long as we fear the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, we can live in such a way where we're not living in the fear of God in this life. And we can live in darkness. We can live in darkness in this life. But I want to tell you, in this gospel dispensational period of time, light has sprung up. Light has sprung up. You remember I said there that I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In 1 John, John chapter 1, I'm sorry. John chapter 1, verse 7. Well, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. In the day of darkness, in the evening time, it shall be light. They were in darkness, not just the Jews and their apostasy, but also the Gentiles were in a great darkness, weren't they? Because of they were serving false gods and those things. They were in a darkness. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is called the light and the light of life. And is when he came on the scene, if you will, that he began to preach, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That repenting, what he's talking about, is not just repenting of your sins. He's saying turn from your apostasy. Turn from your paganistic gods. Turn from those things. Repent from those things and serve me. And enter into the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want to tell you, when that light came on scene, it wasn't a beautiful light to everybody. Not everybody appreciated that light. Not everybody appreciated Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, there were those in the fourth chapter. It's in the fourth chapter of Matthew. Those in the fourth chapter of Matthew that sat in darkness. It says, in 16, Matthew 4 and 16, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." He is our, the Bible says, in the book of Luke, I believe it is, he is our day spring. He is that has brought the light into the world. What light are you talking about? I'm talking about the light of the truth. We're in that gospel dispensation now. While there is darkness all around us, as I have said, we can come to where the light is. There's a light that God has provided for those that fear His name. And it's for those that fear His name that can come in and can rejoice. Even though this world is dark, I want to tell you what. This world is full of darkness. It's full of wars. It's full of immorality. It's full of abortions. It's full of false doctrines of evolution. There's a lot of darkness out in this world. And thanks be to God, there is a light in this world. And that light, He is the light of life. That light is not me and it's not you. That light is Jesus Christ. We are in that gospel dispensation, so that while all that darkness is going on around us, dear child of God, let us not forget that we have the light of truth, that we have understanding, and that has been brought to us in a light that we can rejoice. And even though in the midst of all this darkness, we can still find cause to rejoice. As Zechariah was writing to them, we can still find cause to be comforted, even in a time of darkness. And I want to tell you, this world is going to continue to be more and more in darkness. But I want to tell you what, the darker that the world is, the brighter the light is of the truth. The darker it is, the lighter, the brighter the light of the truth. And how precious is that? When he says in the 18th chapter of John, and in the 12th verse, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You won't walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is that light. He was that light then, and He is that light now in this gospel dispensation. You remember that light that they spoke about in to the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelations. He says, "Come quickly, or else I'll remove the candlestick from out of its place." You know what he's saying? I'll remove the light. That's what the candlestick gives. The candlestick gives light. He says, if you don't repent and do your first works, even though you've done all these other good things, your first words, if you don't return unto your first love, he says, I'll remove the light. I'll remove the candlestick from out of its place. And it'll cease to be the Lord's church. It can still be a church. People can still be meeting together each and every time that the doors are open. And they can be like the church of Sardis, that thou hast the name that thou livest, but knowest not that thou art dead. You don't know that the Lord has already departed. But we see that in the Lord's house, there is light in the church. And we can rejoice in that. In Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30 and 26, it says, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun." What he's doing is he's showing an example of the light that they then had then, and the example of what the light will be now in this gospel dispensation. "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, and the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people." When did the Lord bind up the breach of His people? I tell you when He did that. He did that on Calvary's cross. And it's then that we're living under a light that back then they had no ideal of. But we have a great ideal of that light today. And we see that light through the gospel. He said, "The Lord bindeth up the breach of the people and healeth the stroke of their wound. You know, it's in the gospel that the Lord heals us, heals our infirmities, heals our sickness. He heals us naturally, obviously He can do that. But I'm talking about in a spiritual sense, in a spiritual way. The Lord heals us. He binds us. He comforts the brokenhearted. He gives strength to the downtrodden. He lifts up the weak and feeble and gives them strength in the gospel. And they're able to go forward another day because they've received the light of the truth of Jesus Christ. And they know, dear child of God, as you know this morning, that this world, though as dark as it may be, there's a better day coming. And thanks be to God for that. That there's a better day coming, and we can all look forward to that no matter how bad or how dark it gets out in this life. We have light that we can enter into now in this life, and we know that there's a day coming, dear child of God, when all darkness shall flee. When all darkness shall flee, and that's when we go home to be with the Lord. So we see there that that light has sprung up in Revelations, in the last chapter of Revelations. In Revelations 20:21, verse 23, and the city had no need. Here's the church. In Revelations 21 and verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What Lamb? It's talking about the Lamb of God. Is that not talking about the Lamb of Christ? He is the light of it. He goes on to say, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. This isn't talking about eternal heaven, dear child of God. This is talking about the gospel dispensational time right now in the Lord's kingdom. We're talking about in the Lord's house. So long as the Lord is here, I want to tell you what, it'll always be light in the church. There'll always be light in the church so long as the Lord is here. You remember He said in the fifth chapter of Matthew, and on that Sermon on the Mount, He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why can't it be hid? Because there's darkness and there's the light of that city. And so it shines out so all that can see that light. You know, when He says you are the light of the world, He's talking about the church. Where does the church get her light? From the Lamb of God. The church gets her light from Jesus Christ. He is the light. What we do, what we're called to do, is just to radiate that. You know, it's kind of like the sun and the moon. You know, the moon had, you know, I've been out at night hunting all through the night. And I've been out and I didn't even need a flashlight because I could walk by the light of the moon. It was so bright. I could see my way through the woods. It was casting shadows in the woods. Oh, you know what? There's no light. The moon doesn't project its own light. It has a borrowed light. It borrows the light of the sun. It is a reflection of the sun. And I want to tell you what the church ought to be today, dear child of God. The church today ought to be a reflection of the Son of Righteousness who has arisen with healing in His wings. Our lives, as we leave from here, as we come together in the Lord's house, should be a reflection of Jesus Christ, the light of life. Should be a reflection of Him. We should be portraying that, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both the will to do of His good pleasure. Dear child of God, that's how we radiate the truth. That's how we radiate the light. It's used that borrowed light, is allowing the light of Christ to reflect upon us. He goes on to say, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? To light a candle and then put it under a bushel to hide that light. You know what we're called to do? We're called to shine it out. Don't hide it. Let it out. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, when we're reflecting the light of Jesus Christ in our lives, in the church, and in the workplace, and everywhere we go, when we're reflecting that light, it is Jesus Christ, it is God that gets all the glory. Because it's not our light. We don't generate that light, just like the moon. You want to thank the moon for the light, you better thank the sun. I want to tell you what, if a child of God has the ability to show forth the goodness of God in his heart, thank God for it, because that's he's reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do, to reflect that light in our lives, so that in evening time it shall be dark. At evening time it shall be light. At evening time it shall be light when we consider the new birth. I want to tell you, in our depraved state, if left alone without the Spirit of God, we're nothing but darkened and depraved. Nothing good in us whatsoever. But it is when the Lord shined the light of His Spirit, I didn't say the light of the gospel now. I said the light of His Spirit into your heart. Because you're not going to understand the light of the gospel unless the Lord's already given you the light of life. Unless you've already been quickened and born again by the Spirit of God, it's only then that you're able to see the light of the truth. It's only then that you're able to live in a way in this life that reflects the goodness of God, the goodness that God has demonstrated upon you in your life. He says in the 5th chapter of Ephesians in the 8th verse, "For ye were sometime darkness." You were sometime darkness. Now, when he says you were sometime, he didn't mean sometimes you were and sometimes you weren't. He meant you were at one time. At one time, you were darkness. For you were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. When did we become light in the Lord? I'll tell you when we did. When the Lord quickened us by His Spirit. The light of life came in on us. And as I've said before, that's not the greatest day of your life. You know why? Because when that light's turned on by the Spirit of God, all you see is a corrupt house, don't you? All you see is a house that's a mess, that's in a ruined state. But I want to tell you, it's then that you begin to hear the gospel and you can begin to straighten up your house. You can begin to clean it up. But until then, dear child of God, you're just in darkness. But you were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Well, I thought you said we were. We are. Why are we? He's saying, walk as you are. You are the children of light. He says, walk as that. Reflect that. Bring that out, because the Spirit of God is within you. You know, Paul gave that account in Acts 22 and verse 6 when he was talking and giving an account of the things that had happened to him. In 22 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now he's talking about his experience in the new birth. I don't believe most people have an experience of the new birth. I believe once you realize that you have been born again, it's too late. You've already been born again. I don't believe most people have the Damascus Road experience as the Apostle Paul did. We have an experience of grace that comforts and assures our hearts that we have been born again by the Spirit of God. But the Apostle Paul tells us here on his experience of the new birth that a great light shone about him and threw him to the ground, saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You see, that's an experience that he had. And every time a child of God is born again by the Spirit of God, at evening time, there shall be light. And the child of God's dark and depraved heart, I want to tell you, the light of life comes into him. Jesus Christ comes into him. And he begins to see who he is. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father," in the 12th verse, "which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered us from what? The power of darkness. We were captives of sin. We were captives of trespasses and in sins, but we have been delivered from that. How was it that we were delivered from that? Well, we just picked ourselves up by our own bootstraps and brought us up out of that waste, howling wilderness. No, listen to what he says. Who hath delivered us? Talking about God. He is the deliverer. You didn't deliver yourself. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Translated simply means he picked you up where you were at. He brought you up out of the family of Adam and brought you into the family of God. And he did that vitally in the new birth. He did that vitally. It was vitally applied to you in the new birth, that Jesus Christ had paid the price full and complete on Calvary's cross. So we see that at evening time, light, it is light in the new birth. Same. We can also say the same thing experientially in our lives for the child of God. I want to tell you, at evening time, it can be light. When we go to the third chapter of John, something that I was reading earlier this week, and the whole chapter of John, third chapter of John, that whole chapter with Nicodemus is the Lord confirming to Nicodemus that he was a child of God. That's what that was for. It was confirming with Nicodemus, a man that came by night, that he was a child of God. Chapter 3 is full of evidences of one that is a child of God. When you go to John 3:16, the one that is misused so many times, but I want to tell you what, I wouldn't take it out of my Bible for nothing. I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That believing is in the state of believing. Not something you got to do to believe, but this child of God is in the state of believing. And the comfort to Nicodemus was, Nicodemus, if you believe that I am who I say I am, it's evidence that I am dying for you on the cross at Calvary. That's what John 3:16 is. And he goes on down further. And he says in the 18th verse, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that's, we're talking about evidences here. Okay, he goes on to Nicodemus, he says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, I want to tell you something about this. Everyone that doeth evil cometh not to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He's not saying that we're just talking about dead end sinners. Because, dear child of God, I believe there's a multitude of God's people that are born again by the Spirit of God that do not want to enter into that light, that do not want to see their sins. We're not talking about that. The evidence is one that is drawing to the Lord. This is what we're talking about. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Here's the evidence, Nicodemus. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. We're not talking about all the ones that are doing evil. I can't separate those, but I can tell you one that has a desire to walk in the light as he is in the light. And that's one that gives a great evidence that he's a child of God. You see, that's what Nicodemus was coming to the Lord seeking after. Nicodemus wasn't seeking eternal salvation. Nicodemus was wanting some instruction. He was seeking the Lord. And here he comforted him in that. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, as we consider our experiential at evening, it shall be light. In the 28th verse, it says, Isaiah 40 and 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, what he's talking about is if in this life that our trust is not in the Lord, doesn't matter how strong you feel to be within yourself, you'll utterly fall sooner or later. If you trust in yourself to get you through this world and God has shown you the light, and you rejoice in the light, but yet you're trusting in your own self, you know what's going to happen? Distress and misery in your life because you're not trusting in the Lord. We become weak. We can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. We're a weak vessel. We need God to strengthen us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. And all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Listen to what he says. But that they may be weak and they may faint and falter and fall. But listen to what he says in the 31st verse. But they that wait upon the Lord. See, we're talking about somebody that's waiting on the Lord now. He's at his wit's end. And he's trusting now in God. And he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How are you going to renew your strength? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, we're talking about somebody now that can run and won't be weary. We're talking about somebody that can walk and they won't faint. What's the difference? The difference is, in this verse, they're trusting in the Lord. They're trusting in God. And that's your experience in this life? That when you trust in yourself, or you trust in the things of this world to try to get you through some calamity or some tribulation or trial, then it just doesn't work out. But when you trust in the Lord and you seek Him, He gives you the strength to go through it. He gives you the strength to continue on. There have been things in my life and continue in my life that if I weren't trusting in God and all I was doing was just trusting in myself, there's no way that I can make it. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, when you're looking to the Lord and you are trusting in Him and Him alone, you can get up in the morning rejoicing. He says, listen to what He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What's wings as eagles mean? You know, every other fowl, every other bird, when there's a storm coming, you know what they do? They seek refuge. They seek the crevice in a rock, or they seek their nest, or they seek a hiding place. They are seeking shelter. But you know what the eagle is able to do? Do you know, as cloudy as it is out there today and as rainy as it is, if you got high enough, do you know what you would see? Blue sky and the sun shining. I want to tell you, today the sky is blue and the sun is shining as bright as it ever has. We just can't see it because of the clouds that are between us and that. I want to tell you what the eagle can do. The eagle is able to fly above that. When it gets caught in a storm, It can fly above that. It can fly at great altitudes. It can get above the storm and it can circle up there. And it can circle where the sky is blue and the sun is shining. And dear child of God, we ought to mount up as eagles with wings. When the troubles seem to weigh upon us, we need to get above our troubles. We need to get above our trials. And we need to see the Son of Righteousness, that He is still there, that He is guiding and protecting us. It's only then that we can find the comfort and the strength and the fortitude to continue on in this life. Experientially. Last place I want to go to is there's another light coming one day. We talked about the light of the church and the natural light at darkness. The gospel dispensation, the new birth, in our experience, even in times of darkness, it can be light. We can fly above that darkness into the light. But I want to tell you, when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a great day of rejoicing that day. It won't be darkness that day, dear child of God. When He comes back, the light of life, Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something about when He comes back the second time. He's not coming back to be laying in a manger. He's not coming back to be a servant. When our Lord and Savior comes back, I want to tell you what the robe, he's going to come back in His royal attire. He's going to come back with His crown, victorious. They're going to roll the carpet out for Him, as it were. He's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There won't be a question the next time that the Lord comes back whether it's the Lord or not. You won't have to follow a star to go see where He's at. I want to tell you, He is that star. He will. He's going to light the clouds. He's going to come back one day, and we're all going to see Him. And no, for the weak in faith, He's not going to have to broadcast Himself on CNN or something like that. How's everybody going to see Him at one time? You know, it's going to be a broadcast. It's going to be broadcast on CNN or something like that. No. You think God is trusting in that? You think God is not powerful enough when He comes and the last sound of that trump is blown on that last day, that every eye shall see and every knee shall bend and everyone will be given praise to God? Well, His people will be given praise to God. And I'm looking forward to that. He says, the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." We're talking about a light that shineth in a dark place. Until, what's he say? Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Until the day dawned. What day is that talking about? That's talking about the coming of the Lord and Savior, the day of His coming, when He comes back. It's going to be the day dawn. It's going to be light where there was darkness. People say, no, He's talking about the gospel there. No, He's talking about we're going to need it. Listen, if that's just talking about the gospel, not talking about the coming back of the Lord, listen, it says, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn." Now, if we're going to take that spiritually and the day dawns in the truth of the gospel, then we don't need the word of God anymore. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about Jesus Christ. When the Lord comes back, It's going to be that day. "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." I want to tell you, we've got something, dear child of God, that we can rejoice in. And the light that we have, the light that we experience on a day-to-day basis, the light of the Spirit of God in our heart, and that light that's coming back one day, dear child of God, He says over here, the Lord says, and then we'll close. In the 21st chapter of Luke, in the 25th verse, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and looking, doesn't that sound like a dark time? I mean, you go read over there in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and men shall be lovers, you know, talking about perilous times. In the last days there shall be perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves. And all this long list of things that Paul brings to Timothy. And I don't want to tell you, there's no light in any of that. This is all darkness. It's the darkness that we're living in now. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. For your redemption draweth nigh. I'm looking forward while we are living today in this gospel dispensation. We have the light of the truth. And we have the light of life within us. And we have experiences of that in our life, that at dark times it can be light. And all of that, dear child of God, I'm looking for that day that's coming out yonder. And I know that it's coming. Whether I'm already dead and in the grave, whether we're all already gone home to be with the Lord and in the grave, that day is coming when the clouds are going to give way to the Son of God. God bless you. I appreciate the time.